Let's briefly bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we do pray again that thou'd be with us today, be with us now tonight, as we do seek to break the bread of life, to break thy word. Our Father, we're not able to do this without thee, without the help of thy Spirit, without thy grace. We need thee to help us, O Lord, and to give us a right understanding of the Holy Scriptures. So do help us, our Father, make thy word a blessing to our hearts tonight, both to preachers of it and those who hear, we pray. And we ask, O Lord, that as we hear these things, that if we are believers, Lord, our faith might be strengthened. If we're not, that faith, Lord, that gift might come to us, and that we might trust in Christ for the first time and receive all the blessings and all the benefits of salvation through grace and through faith in his name. So do hear us now. Do help us, we pray. For we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends, for our text tonight, we're turning together to the Gospel of Luke again. And chapter 8, we were in this chapter this morning, and we were looking at the verses that surrounded the ones that we're going to look at tonight. We're looking at verses 41 and 42 and 49 to 56 this morning, when we considered one of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle of his raising to life Jairus' daughter, who was a ruler of the synagogue at that time. Well, that's what we're looking at this morning. Tonight, under consideration are verses 43 to 48 of Luke chapter 8. And again, just like I said this morning, the parallel passages to this passage here in the other synoptic gospels may be found in Matthew chapter 9 and Mark chapter 5. Matthew chapter 9 and Mark chapter 5. Again, I won't read the passage to you because I've already done that this evening. So we're looking at these verses here, Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48, where we have another miracle. So this morning, our Lord Jesus Christ did many, many miracles during his earthly life and ministry. We consider just one of them this morning, that miracle upon Jairus' daughter. Well, here we have another miracle of his, the miracle of the healing of the woman who touched Christ's garment. Some has also been called the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. And we'll see why that is in a moment. Now, I gave you a reason why I was preaching what I did this morning to you. And before we go any further, I want to tell you why I want to preach on this particular passage here tonight. And that is because, it's not because I want God wants your body so much to be healed this evening, but that so that your soul might be healed and that you might be forgiven of your sins. That is the reason why I'm here tonight and to preach these things to you. That is the reason why I want to preach to you upon this passage, so that you might be healed, if I might put it like that, of your diseases, or your disease. Not that is not a kind of a physical disease in your body, but the disease of your heart, the disease of your soul, which is your sin. That is something that may already have happened to you, but if not, or that this might be something that you might experience this evening as the result of trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and who died upon a cross in order to pay the penalty of your sins, that if you believe in him, all your sins might be forgiven you, and you might be right with God. So this is what we're looking at tonight, and this is the reason why this miracle of the healing of the woman who touched Christ's garment. And the way that I'd like to look at this particular miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight is to look at it in three ways. First of all, in verses 43 and 44, at least the beginning of verse 44, We have this lady, she was a believer, wasn't she? She did have faith. Her faith wasn't perfect. She had an imperfect faith, but it seems that she did have faith. I trust that you do too, a saving faith. But we see, first of all, that her faith was concealed. Her faith wasn't concealed from herself. She knew that she had faith, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself knew that this lady had faith. But everybody else wasn't aware of it. She had what we may call a concealed faith. You may have a concealed faith. You might. God might have been gracious to you. He might have granted you the new birth. He might have granted you repentance. He might have granted you a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You might know that. He knows it. Perhaps nobody else knows it. Perhaps that might change tonight. So she had a concealed faith, first of all. But then in the second part of verse 44, again about her faith, which God gave to her as a gift, we see that her faith was rewarded. I don't want you to misunderstand that. I'm not saying here that what happened to her was something that she earned because of her faith. It was something that happened to her as the result of her believing. The way in which this came to her, was channeled to her, if you like, came to her was through faith and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't through her touching Christ, or touching his garment so much, but it was a result of trusting in him. But she didn't earn this through faith. These blessings, this blessing of healing came to her through her believing in Christ. And thirdly tonight, I want us to see that her faith finally was revealed in verses 45 and 48. They say, you might be somebody who has believed. You might have believed from the heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, but as yet, this is not something that you've confessed. You've not become public on, if you like. You've come out in a way as a Christian. Well, you should do, my friend. Or make sure tonight that you do have faith. You do have saving faith in Jesus Christ. You know that you're saved. Don't let that faith be a concealed faith. It will be a rewarded faith. Salvation will come to you through it. But don't let it be a concealed faith. Let it be a revealed faith. Make it public. Yeah, perhaps even tonight, confess your faith before men. And perhaps sometime in the future, if you are a new believer in Jesus Christ, you may want to be baptized in order to publicly confess your faith, and so that perhaps one day you might also come round the Lord's table and celebrate these things with the Lord's people. So let's look at these three things tonight. First of all, let's look at this stage in this lady's spiritual life. She is a believer, but her faith is concealed. Verses 43 and the beginning of verse 44. So how do we see this? That her faith is concealed? Well, because Luke tells us about this lady, this woman, in the earlier miracle, and the one that comes after it, it's dealing with a man, Jairus. This is a lady. He was a ruler of the synagogue. This lady was relatively unknown, almost completely unknown. Jairus, of course, a man. This is a woman here. Perhaps, no doubt, a Jewish lady. And we're told about her condition here in verse 43, that she was a lady who had an issue of blood. Blood was coming from her. Perhaps not all the time, but every now and again. She's losing blood. She was a lady who was subject to hemorrhages. And she'd been in this condition for quite some time. In fact, she'd been in it for a period of 12 years. So throughout the life of the little girl who was healed by the time that she was 12, all of those years, the life that that little girl had lived, this lady had had this illness. This lady had had this disease, some kind of disease in her body within her that causes hemorrhaging to take place. And for her to be losing blood and basically to be losing her health and ultimately losing her life. So she was a lady who was very ill, just like the little girl that we read about this morning, heard about this morning. She was a little girl who was dying. No doubt this lady here, she was also dying. I want to say to you, my dear friend, tonight, if you're not a Christian, this lady here had some kind of physical illness, physical infirmity, physical weakness by which she was dying. But I want you to remember, if you're not a Christian, you're somebody who is suffering from a You may have your physical illnesses. You may even have a physical disease tonight. I don't know. God knows. But you are certainly, if you're not somebody who's a Christian, indeed, people who are Christians, we still are in the body, still sinners. We will be until we're glorified. But before we become Christians, this is all we know. We are those who are subject to this spiritual disease, to this disease of sin, which is in us, which is throughout us, which is in our hearts, which is in our souls, which affect our lives, the way that we talk, the way that we behave, the whole of our lives, it affects us. And as a result of that spiritual illness of sin, you and I are dying. And if we don't repent of our sins, if we don't turn to Christ, if we don't turn to God for mercy and grace, if we're not saved from our sins and have our sins forgiven, made right with God, you and I are not even going to physically die. We're going to remain in this endless state of spiritual separation from God. We're going to die eternally and go to a lost eternity, go to hell. Go to a place of eternal punishment, eternal, everlasting. It will be forever and forever. So is this the state? Is this your state? Is this your condition tonight, spiritually, before God? You are somebody who has this spiritual disease of sin. This disease that's been passed on from our first parents, Adam and Eve, right from the very beginning, right down until today. You've caught it. You've caught this contagion. This is something that is in you and threatens to damn you unless God has mercy upon your soul. Unless God gives you the grace to repent and to believe in his Son Jesus, who came to save us from these things by paying the penalty for them on the cross of Calvary. So that was the condition of this lady. That's what was true concerning her. She had this illness. She had this disease. And what is it that she had sought to do about it? Well, she had, clearly at one time, she had been perhaps quite a wealthy lady, but she wasn't anymore, because she had spent all her living, all that she had had, just about everything that she had had, and she had spent them on physicians and doctors to try and do something about her condition. But the net result of this, we read in verse 43, was this, that she was a lady, humanly speaking, that was not able to be healed, that was not able to be cured by any person, by any doctor, or by any physician. Of course, Luke, as a doctor, as a physician, was particularly interested in this. It's interesting, actually, he goes a little bit easier upon the people of his profession than the other writers of the Gospels. He says just that she wasn't able to be healed of any, rather than they were preying on her for her money. So a commentator says this woman's illness was, humanly speaking, and in the light of the therapeutics at that day, incurable. Poor woman. She had lost her health. She had lost her wealth. And because of the nature of her illness, also her standing in society. She was like a spiritual leper. She was like a spiritual outcast because of this illness that she had. I mean, that nobody would come near to her. She was unclean. She wouldn't be able to join in synagogue worship. People wouldn't invite her round to their homes. If she touched them, they were defiled. Whatever she touched became defiled. She was a spiritual outcast. So, also standing in society, particularly in the religious community, her condition was such that it'd make her ceremonially unclean, according to Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 19. So, humanly speaking, she was incurable. She could not be healed. I want to say to you, my dear friend, tonight, not dealing with any kind of physical illness, but if you are suffering from sin, if you have that spiritual illness and disease, I've got to tell you, it is pointless turning to anybody else except God and except Christ for this. Humanly speaking, you are incurable. You can't do anything about your sin, and nobody else upon this earth can do anything about it as well. What you need to do is that you need to come to God, and you need to come to his Son, Jesus Christ. You need to turn from your sin. You need to believe in him who died upon that cross of Calvary in order to take away. He took upon himself all our sins, all our diseases, our spiritual diseases, if you like. That spotless Lamb of God took our sin upon himself, took the wrath of God upon himself, was punished in our place, so that if you look to him, if you believe in him, you might be healed. You will not find healing, my dear friends, in yourself. You won't find healing in any religion, in any world religion, in any cult, in the occult. You won't find it in anybody else except in God and in Christ. And trusting, looking, and believing in him and resting in his finished work upon Calvary's cross. That all-sufficient atonement to take away our sin. But perhaps that as yet has not happened to you. You are still unhealed. You are still not cured, as this lady at this point. But what did she do? Well, she did a wonderful thing. In her despair, in her hopelessness, we're told that she came at this point. This all happened in Capernaum, you remember. As Jesus was making his way to the house of the ruler of the synagogue in order to heal Jairus' daughter, and as Christ is crowded around by lots of people, she comes behind him because she's ashamed to confront him and to face him and to ask him to do anything for her. So she comes behind the Lord Jesus Christ and she reaches out with her hand. But also, my dear friend, what affects the cure is that she's reaching out by faith to touch Christ, spiritually as it were. And she touches the border or the tassel swinging freely from the back of his garment or his robe that we read about in Numbers chapter 15 and verse 38. We read also about it in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 12. She touches one of the four wool tassels which every Israelite was ordered to wear on the corners of his square outer robe to remind him of the law of God. But my dear friends, the reason why the cure came to her, not that she earned it by faith, but it did come through her believing. Not through her touching Christ, not through physically touching him, not through her touching this tassel, touching his robe, the hem of his garment, the fringe, but it's because she believed in him. She trusted in him, who he was and what he was able to do, that he was one, that in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily, and he was full of virtue, full of healing power. And she reaches out. This healing power comes to her and she's healed of her physical illness and of her infirmity. But as yet, as we see, her faith is still concealed, all bar to herself and to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I want to know, my dear friend, have you done what this lady did here? Have you come to God? Have you come to Christ? Come by prayer. Come upon your knees. And have you reached out by faith? You don't have to touch him. You don't have to handle the word of life in these days. You need to reach out by faith, the faith that God can give to you. And it's not your faith that will earn the salvation of your soul, but it's through faith, through believing and believing alone, that salvation will come to you. And you'll be forgiven of all your sins. God will forgive you of all of them, past, present and future, and make you right with himself. And you'll know, you'll believe, you'll have peace with God, your sins will be forgiven. Perhaps for now only you'll know it. And God will know it. It's between you and him. So first of all, we see in these initial verses, this lady's faith. She has faith, but it's a faith concealed. But then secondly, we have her faith rewarded. And again, I'm emphasizing it and underlining so you don't misunderstand. It's not her faith that earned this. Faith isn't a work. It is that by which this came to her, the instrument, the channel by which it came to her. We have a faith rewarded at the end of verse 44. Because we're told that her issue of blood, this hemorrhaging within inside her, that it staunched, however you pronounce that, it means that it stopped. And Luke tells us, it must have amazed Luke, mustn't it, as a doctor, as a physician, to see this. He was used to kind of treating people and perhaps been used by God in a kind of indirect way as a second cause to help people, to heal people, and to see people healing gradually. But in the case of this miracle, my dear friends, this woman was healed immediately. It was instantaneous. The moment that she believed, her physical infirmity was healed and totally cleared up. The blood was no more issuing from her. The hemorrhaging stopped. And the greatness of this woman's faith consisted in this, that she believed that the power of Christ to heal was so amazing that even the mere touch of his clothes would result in an instant and complete cure. In one brief moment, the hemorrhage stopped completely. Health and vigor began to surge through every part of her body, and she knew that she had been healed, and that her faith, in the sense that I've said, had been rewarded. Oh, my dear friend, do you know tonight, the sense that I'm saying, not that we earn salvation by faith, but in you through believing that salvation has come to you? Because I can tell you, the moment that you believe in the Son of God, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's come into this world, he came in the flesh, he lived a perfect life for you, that righteousness might be imputed to you when you believe in him, that he died a sin-atoning death upon the cross for your sins, the moment that you believe, you will be forgiven of all your sins. Right there and in the moment that you believe, God will forgive and pardon and absolve you of all your sins. It will be an immediate and instantaneous salvation. Yes, there's a sense in which thereafter God will deal with sin's power and pollution in your life. Till last you die and go to glory and are glorified. But when you believe, your justification will be instantaneous. You'll be pronounced not guilty, no longer under God's condemnation, no longer the curse upon you, but God's blessing will rest upon you from that time right through the whole of your life. Has your faith? Do you have faith, my friend? Have you trusted? Have you looked to Jesus Christ? And your faith in this sense been rewarded by receiving? Faith acting as a channel, as an instrument, as a tool, by this receiving God's full and free salvation, the salvation of your soul. And oh, my dear friends, when this comes, it's wonderful. When his healing came to this woman, she felt the power of it. The power, this kind of health and vigor surging through her. When salvation comes to us, we surely know, or that we want to know, truly have the assurance that our sins are forgiven. Well, the third and final thing here tonight is this. Her faith, which at one time was concealed, now had been rewarded. She had been cured of her sickness totally. She was now completely healthy again. But now her faith needs to be revealed. In verses 45 to 48, we read about it here. Christ brings it out here. It is not as though he doesn't know what's happened. But he asks, he suddenly stops and ask the question, who was it that touched me, in order to draw out her confession of faith. He was not ignorant of the fact that someone had touched him. And this not accidentally, but purposely. And not just with a finger, but with faith. He knew that it was to that faith that the power within him and proceeding from him had responded. What Jesus wants is that whoever it was that had thus meaningfully touched him shall now glorify him. She had believed with her heart, but she had not as yet confessed with her mouth. Many people like this, who have believed. Perhaps you're like this tonight. You have believed, you have become a Christian. But as yet, it's all undercover. You're hiding your light under a bushel. Well, God doesn't want that. Christ doesn't want that. He wants you not only to believe with your heart, but also to make confession with your mouth, to come out, as it were, to obey his command, to be baptized, to celebrate communion, to identify with the church, perhaps to become a member of a church, to identify with God's people. So Christ says, in order to bring out her confession, to bring her back, to bring out her confession of faith, he asks, who was it that touched me? It nonplusses the apostle Peter and the other apostles. Who touched you, Lord? What do you mean by that? They take him too literally, don't they? That all these people around the Lord Jesus Christ as he's making his way to Jairus' house. So what does Christ mean? Who touched you? Peter says to him, Master, the multitude, the people throng thee. They're almost crushing you. They're pressing upon you. So what do you mean? Who touched you? All these people are touching you. But Christ did not mean here who was only physically touching him, pressing upon him, but who had meaningfully, yes, physically, literally touched him, but touched him in faith with a purpose. So he says in verse 46, again she heard these words, somebody has touched me, for I perceive. Christ was aware that virtue or healing power had gone out of him. So she hears these things, she's convicted about them, she knows what Christ has done. How can she possibly be silent and quiet about it? So this lady, having been healed, she comes trembling and falls down before the Lord Jesus Christ, and she makes this open declaration. She explains why she had touched Christ, and she also says publicly how she was healed immediately, that it had been an instant cure. Her faith now is no longer concealed, it has been revealed. I ask you again, my dear friend, are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you will have this saving faith. Yes, initially it may be something that is hidden. Like Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, his faith for the time was hidden, but then it came out. Do you have an evident faith? Do you have an obvious faith? Do you have a faith that has expressed itself? Have you not only believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but have you confessed him before others publicly? Have you said it to somebody else? I've become a Christian. Have you said it to your father or your mother? Have you said it to a sister or a brother or a relation, a friend? Have you come out with these things? Because this is something that must happen when we believe. We must become witnesses of Christ. Testify of his saving grace in our lives. Tell what God has done for our souls. Do you have a faith that's come out? Have you spoken about it? Have you been baptized? Have you taken the Lord's Supper? Otherwise, my dear friend, if this is something that you've never mentioned, perhaps it's something that you don't have. If you have life, as we saw this morning, that spiritual life will come out, will show itself, will evidence itself. If you have faith, and what James says, faith without works is dead, being alone. So if you have belief, if you do have faith, it'll show itself by works of faith and love and by confessing your faith before others. She does this and Christ leaves her finally. So we come to a close tonight. Now that her faith is revealed with his commendation. Daughter, he says, it's the only place where he says this, where he says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made you whole, has made you well. Go in peace. Go with a smile. It means go with the smile of God upon you and the joyful inner knowledge of this, his smile. Lovingly, Jesus calls her daughter. He speaks as a father to his child. Moreover, he praises her for her faith. Her faith, though not the basic cause of her cure, had been the channel, so I've been trying to explain to you, through which the cure had been accomplished. It had been the instrument used by Christ's power and love to effect her recovery. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. To close, my dear friends, what about you? Are you able to go tonight, as it were, in good comfort? Has your faith made you spiritually healthy, made you spiritually well, by which you've been healed, not earned it, but that through which salvation has come. Are you able to go now, because you believe and because your sins are forgiven, are you able to go with peace with God? You now have peace with God through Christ, through faith in his name. Being justified by faith and by faith alone, we have peace with God through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Are you able to go in peace tonight, knowing your sins forgiven, knowing you're right with God? So, dear friends, we looked at these two miracles today. Jairus' daughter this morning, this unnamed lady tonight. We've seen that her faith initially was concealed, then it was graciously rewarded, and finally out it comes. It reveals itself in all its splendour, in all its glory. Dear friend, to close, do you have same faith as her, this saving faith in Christ? Concealed, rewarded, or is this something is now revealed, it is showing itself, and thereby you know and others know that you're one of the children of God, you're a child of grace and a trophy of grace. Make sure, my dear friends, you have faith in Christ. Don't live without it, don't die without it, otherwise you'll go to a Christless eternity, but with it you'll go to be with Christ, which is far, far better.